Washington, D.C.-based restaurant chain Sweetgreens is on a roll. It's a young company hoping to be part of a wave that brings more sustainable food to the restaurant and fast food industry by delivering fresh, assembly-line salads with a hip attitude. It's got just 31 restaurants so far, mainly on the East Coast, some in California. They're decorated with recycled building materials. They feature the work of local artists. But the company just received $35 million from private investors, including AOL co-founder Steve Case, who thinks Sweetgreens could be as big as Starbucks someday. Starbucks made enemies for forcing local coffee shops to close, so let's see what business models Sweetgreens plans on following and how it will handle getting big in this week's View from the Top with Jonathan Neiman, one of the founders of Sweetgreens. Welcome.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. And you seem to be as well. You and two other friends from Georgetown opened your first restaurant just in 2007, right after you graduated. Take us back then. What did you all sit down and say? We want to create what?
It really started with us wanting to solve a problem. We spent, you know, our first 3 years at school here in D.C. We went to Georgetown University, and we really just had nowhere to eat clean, healthy food that was affordable. And what started as a very, you know, kind of a small idea in a very small space, as soon as we started to work on it, we realized it could solve a much bigger problem in more communities than just where we were.
Well, but as you know, people are, you know, poking at you. The blog Eater from Vox Media lists you as one of its pet peeves. Sweetgreen mania is one of its pet peeves because they say, well, you know, the salad doesn't taste any different from the stuff you get at Chopped or Fresh and Company, which are other stores. And people just like it because of the hipster package. What were you trying to create with the feel of the place, which is a big part of it?
So it was a few things. For us, it's really all about the experience and it's all about the community. So the food is really important where the food comes from. So when you think about what we do that's different, it's actually how we get our food and connect with the local farmers and then how we prepare our food. So we have no commissaries at Sweetgreen. All of our food is delivered daily and prepared from scratch in the kitchens there. In the newer restaurants, it's actually a fully open kitchen with some of the restaurants with even a glass walk-in refrigerator where you can see everything right there. So everything from all the meat is marinated and roasted daily, pretty much every hour. All of the dressings are made in the restaurant every single day. And then from a experience perspective, it's more than just the food. It really is the vibe of the place, which starts from the team members. So from our head coach down to every team member, it's the energy they create in the restaurant. That experience when you're walking down the line may only be 90 seconds, but if we can leave you off better than when we found you, we've done a really good thing.
Well, in fact, you've said a few things there, but don't your servers, the people who on this kind of assembly line, 90 seconds, who put together the salads, aren't they asked to sort of provide a special moment for the people as they go through, even if it's only 90 seconds?
They are. One of our core values is to add the sweet touch. And so our team members are encouraged. So even in that small interaction, just do one thing to connect with someone and leave them better off than when you found them.
There's some waiters in restaurants. This has been sort of a trend where there's checklists and they're asked to, if you start a meal with somebody who's grumpy by the end of the meal, you got to check off that you got them into a good mood. I mean, it's part of the part of the job of servers in some restaurants. You also talked about having fresh food delivered every day. I would imagine, becomes a challenge. Are you going to be able to keep that up? How do you get lettuce to the table in Boston in the middle of the winter that's local?
So it definitely is a challenge as we continue to scale. We have a great team of people working on sourcing. And when we go to a new market, we actually meet farmers before we meet landlords. And for us, it's a flexible menu. So it's a menu that changes 5 times a year by city. So there's certain things that change and certain things that don't. So in Boston, for example, where we do have 3 restaurants, you know, in the summer months where we can get a lot more local, we get as much of it as possible. When we can't, we lean on our organic partners, a lot of which are in California. The key for us is transparency. So the idea for our sourcing is to make the best decision we can, but then to tell you exactly what we did and why we did it.
Yeah. Well, and staying with Boston for a second, because you have 3 locations here, But none of them are in places where there are food deserts, because you talked about the initial mission being trying to get fresh food into neighborhoods. Is that going to change? Are you going to go into neighborhoods that don't have fresh food?
For me and for my partners, that is one of the dreams. It starts with education and then access. And so as we continue to scale our buying power, our brand, and then the influence we can have on changing the way people think about food will hopefully allow us to get to places where we could never dream of today. Yeah. So then, you know, for us, that's why, you know, Starbucks in a way is a great example. Is, you know, there's nowhere you can go without being able to find a good cup of coffee from Starbucks.
Well, Starbucks has been criticized for not going into lower income neighborhoods.
They have, but they're getting there.
I see what you're saying. So that's a company that you don't mind being compared to. What are some other, you know, as you're young and evolving, where else are you looking for good business practices?
You know, for us, from the very beginning, it was about getting inspiration from mentors and companies in completely different industries. So one company that we've looked at early and often has been Patagonia. Hmm. Love the way they've built themselves around a mission and really stay true to that mission and the way they take care of their employees.
For people who don't follow, Patagonia is big in the groups like Businesses Aligned for Local Living Economies. What is it specifically about them that you admire?
For them, it's their focus on the issues. It's really the substance over the style. You know, one of the things that I love about Patagonia, use as an example a lot, is their Black Friday campaign. Instead of, you know, kind of pushing consumerism that you see so much at that time of year, they put out a campaign that says, don't buy anything. Bring your older things and have us fix them. And the authenticity to staying on issue for them, it's just so clear and so real that I think, you know, it creates this cult following.
You know, I'm wondering, too, if you have watched at all Panera and the Pay What You Can.
I have. They stopped doing it, though.
Yeah, that's tough. That was a tough one. I mean, What did you learn from that? You know, here's a restaurant chain that thought, well, we'll just let people pay what they can, and so that, you know, the penniless could come in and have a meal and others would cover it, and it didn't work.
You know, I think it was a noble attempt to try to, again, start a conversation and connect with communities, but I think it's unfortunate that they didn't continue it.
It's interesting. Last week we spoke with 35-year-old Hampton Creek CEO Josh Tetrick. He's in also in a company that's taking off, but he's in a battle with egg producers over his Just Mayo.
Yeah.
They don't think it should be called Just Mayo. But he is, you know, around your age.
Yeah, I know Josh.
Yeah, maybe a little older. What do you think is going on with young CEOs or chain owners like yourself and Josh Tetrick? Is it that, I mean, how old are you?
I'm 30 years old.
Yeah. It sounds as if younger people are coming up who've been able to eat a certain way and are looking out at the restaurant fast food landscape and saying, how come that doesn't reflect my kitchen?
One thing that we talk a lot about is how we both have brands whose voice can be bigger than the actual share. So we say mind share greater than market share. Hmm. You look at what he's doing with Hampton Creek, and he's sparking a national conversation.
He's taking out full-page ads in the New York Times.
He's taking out a number of full-page ads in the New York Times, dear CEO, dear, you know, future president, et cetera, et cetera. They're bold moves, and they're getting people talking. And he's changing consumer mindset around what food, you know, where food comes from and how we should think about it. And that's what I admire in him. And that's something that we're trying to do the same. You know, at the end of the day, our vision is to change the way people live, starting with the way they think about food. And it's going to be more than just how we open restaurants and where we open restaurants. It's about sparking a national conversation.
It's Jonathan Neiman, one of the founders of the restaurant chain Sweetgreen. Got it started in Georgetown with two other Georgetown grads. Jonathan, thanks for talking to us about it.
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be here.
And by the way, Sweetgreen gives its employees a pair of sneakers after a year, a meal every shift. We asked, why not give them a higher wage? Right now they pay about $11 an hour. Jonathan said he hoped to get to $15 someday. Is there a CEO you'd like to hear from? Let us know at hereandnow.org.